Hello, everyone. Surprise, it's Coach Kathy, not Coach Betsy. I'm going to talk a little bit about why you see me tonight instead of Coach Betsy. But first, will you guys let me know if you can see and hear me okay? The lighting in this hotel room is not so great, right? So if you'll post up in the chat that you can hear me okay, that you can see me okay, and then what we'll do is we'll get rolling. So I'm getting a thumbs up and a yes. All right. Hello from Arkansas. Hi, Susan. So I am here. Great. Thank you, Lisa. So I'm here at the sixth day, right? Oh my gosh. We are wrapping up day five. It's just been incredible. Betsy and MJ and Paula and I sit in the back and we talk about, you know, the breaks. Oh my gosh, you know, we've learned so much for ourselves, for our coaching, for all of you. Corinne's introducing these new concepts, you know, as Corinne does, right? She comes in and she says, I heard this podcast today and it was so good. And then she explains something in a brand new way that's just amazing. So here's what we're doing on this call tonight. This is a tribe Q&A. So I am taking all the questions. Whatever it is you want to ask, I will answer. But what I need you to do is go to the bottom of your screen, find the Q&A box, and start loading it up. Whatever questions you have, just go ahead and throw them in that Q&A box, okay? Likely not be any coaching tonight, just Q&A. We put these out here so that, you know, especially for the newbies and you guys who are going through the No BS, as you come across lessons that you have questions about or concepts that you have questions about, we are here to answer all of your questions. So why am I here instead of Coach Betsy? Well, she is here as well on the Q&A, at the sixth day. And as I was getting ready a couple of weeks ago to come here, I got a text from my daughter-in-law that said, my granddaughter Lucy, who turned six, her birthday was last night. Her birthday party. Birthday yesterday, birthday last night. She said, we're going to have pizza and cake. You know, everybody come. And I was like, I'm going to be at the sixth day. And I've got office hours that night. So my brain went straight to, I can't go. And then I paused. Like we teach all of you so often, I took a pause and I said, instead of just putting on the brakes here, let's see if I can figure this out. What can I figure out about going to Lucy's party? So get a Marco Polo, just like y'all. And I talked to Betsy and I said, would you be willing to cover office hours for me at the sixth day? Maybe swap a call with me so that I can go to the birthday party? And she said, of course. So instead of just sitting in my pity party, not being able to go to the birthday party and putting the brakes on and putting my brain to work, that's what you guys need to do every single day. Something comes up. You get a little bit of a roadblock. You have to take a detour. Instead of saying, well, I'm done, put your brain to work on how you can rebound, how you can move that next step forward. How can you fix whatever it is that's gone a little wonky in your world? Y'all, that's self-care, right? How many times do we talk about self-care is not just manis and pedis. Self-care is not just a bubble bath. Self-care is not just a, you know, zoning out on the Netflix. Sometimes self-care is putting your brain to work on figuring out your next step and making that next step happen. So think about it. I've been here in this hotel about 9 miles from home, no kidding, away from my husband since Sunday night. My brain was in the dooter about not being able to go to that birthday party until I figured it out. So on Wednesday night, halfway through the sixth day, I got to take a time out from being Coach Kathy, from being in a hotel room, and I got to go be mom, Nana, Kathy, wife, and that was such good self-care for me. So not only did I get to go to a birthday party, I got to take a pause. I got to take a time out. And I feel so good today. I slept great last night for the first time. I just because, well, let me go back. I slept great. My brain is in a great place. I took in all the learning. I feel revived just because I took a pause and I took care of myself. And I indulged in something that was good for me. I felt love. I felt connection. I felt all the things. That's what self-care can do for you guys. Okay. And it's, you know, you have to look at how you treat yourself as self-care. So some of the interesting things that have come up this week about what self-care is, making time for hobbies is a good one. Reading for leisure and self-development. Self-development is self-care, right? I never thought of that. I was like, oh, I got to study, you know, so I can be a better coach, so I can be a better teacher, blah, blah, blah. No, that's self-care because I'm actually improving my own mind when I self-develop. Wearing clothes that fit and you feel comfortable in is self-care. I Ken often talks about how when I was overweight, when I was 230, I wore pants in the summertime. Why? Because I was hating on my legs. Not because I was comfortable, because I was hating on my legs. Well, what if I had said my legs deserve to be cool like the rest of me? Instead of wearing pants or wearing capris, I put on shorts. That would have been self-care, right? And then I would have also had to work on managing my mind around wearing the shorts, which would have also been self-care. So many things. So I'm super curious if you all have, I would love to see if you all have any unique forms of self-care that you do. That's not the mani-pedi, bubble bath, Netflix kind of self-care that's super unique. Like my unique way of finding self-care for me this week was to take a time out here from the 6 day and from being Coach Kathy and go to a birthday party, right? What's a unique self-care? Let's see. I've started treating not overeating as self-care. Yes, 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 yes. That's beautiful. Doing your 24-hour plan, y'all, is self-care, right? Doing a discovery worksheet is self-care. Isn't that crazy to think about it in those terms? It just blew, you know, when I really opened my brain to self-care, it just blew my mind. Eating foods that are nourishing, listening to podcasts, pull out pens and paper to Zen. I don't understand that. I'm about to pull out pens and paper to Zentangle during this Q&A instead of decluttering. Okay. I guess you're going to take notes. That's great. You bought a Peloton because you love to spin. Right. Right. Instead of judging, well, you know, riding a bike isn't as good as running, you find the exercise that you love because that's the one that you'll do. And the Peloton, man, that's some good stuff, right? Reading for pleasure, absolutely. So think about, just spend some time thinking about how you care for yourself. I don't even know what Zentangle is. I'm going to have to look that up. Cleaning and organizing is self-care. Yeah, Corinne mentioned that today. She said, if you're sitting in the kitchen eating because your kitchen counters are cluttered and you're overwhelmed, what are you doing? Just clean off your kitchen counters, right? Just go ahead and take care of that. And that's self-care because then you're not overwhelmed anymore. Quiet time. Yes. I don't know who Galaxy S10e is, but I'm with you on the quiet time. I love it. Putting outfits together for the upcoming week. Yes. Yeah. Great. Great ideas for self-care. Okay. So, like I said, this is a Q&A. If you have questions, put them in the Q&A. I've got a couple out there. Let's see if I have any more notes about self-care. Nope, that's pretty much it. I just want you to use your imagination. Think of things that help you relax. Oh, I'll tell you something good self-care for me. Lavender oils. In fact, Ken got me one of those little roller oil things that has lavender and peppermint in it. I put that stuff on me every day because the peppermint, you know, livens you up and the lavender gives you a sense of calm. If any of you are prone to, you know, getting a little anxious, like I mean, I can get myself getting worked up. I'll just be honest with y'all. Lavender, I love it. I just love it. In fact, I can smell it over here. He got me a little bracelet that has these volcanic beads in it, and you put just a drop of oil on one of the beads and it absorbs it. So my bracelet smells like lavender. Love it. Love it. Love it. Hitting a bucket of balls at the driving range. Yes. Exercise and self-care and aggression therapy. Hitting a bucket of balls. Except, I got to be honest with you, golf, y'all. Pretty frustrating for this girl. I'm not very good. All right. Let's see what you all have for me in the Q&A. Let's see what we got going on over here. Raquel, I am a newbie. I am really struggling with going all in. I seem to be self-sabotaging. I can't quite seem to complete and stick to my realistic plan. Can you offer some advice? Okay. First thing I would do, I would look at what self-sabotaging actually is. Okay. So I think it's really easy for us to say, I'm self-sabotaging without defining what that is, because it seems like it's out of our control. If we're self-sabotaging, we don't feel like we're in control. Okay. It feels like something external that's happening to us, even though it says self, it feels like I don't have control over what I'm doing. So if you're self-sabotaging, are you overeating? Are you not following your plan? Are you having the F it moments? What is it? And the realistic, sticking to your real, if you're not sticking to your realistic plan, it's not realistic enough. Okay. So what I want you to do, Raquel, is I want you to write down exactly everything you wrote to ate today. And then I want you to make a plan that is very similar to that for tomorrow. For instance, if you had pancakes and bacon for breakfast and a sandwich and chips and an apple for lunch, and you had two pieces of candy at snack time, and you had a hamburger and fries for dinner, that's what I want your tomorrow's plan to, and dessert, that's what I want tomorrow's plan to look like. I want it to be very similar to what you ate today. The important thing about the realistic plan is that you develop a commitment to yourself and to the plan. So if you're not sticking to plans, they're not realistic enough. Okay, you need to broaden them out. That's my advice for you. As far as struggling with going all in, there's a video on the website that talks about where Corinne, it's in the Best of Corinne's. It's very early on, and I believe it talks about frustrated about having to be about having to restart. I want you to go in there and find that video. If you can't find it, Raquel, I want you to get in the tribe, the PMP tribe Facebook group, and tag me, and I will find it for you and put that link in there. Okay, that's what I want you to do. I want you to create a plan for tomorrow that is based on the same types of food, the same times a day that you ate today. And then I want you to drop all the rules around what you think it should be and create it exactly how you will follow it. I want you to have a plan that you'll follow, because I want you to develop that commitment to yourself. Because by not following plan, you're thinking you can't follow plan, and it's just not realistic enough for you. Okay? Heather, I struggle with anxiety and feeling overwhelmed, and when it is really bad, I binge eat. Last week, I went off the rails for several days. I was even too overwhelmed to TDL or do anything. I know the feeling of being overwhelmed will happen again, and I don't know what to do to stop the spiral of anxiety, panic attacks, and binging. All right, I want you to plan your next overwhelm. Seriously, Heather, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think right now, when this happens to me again, this is what I'm going to do, okay? Because overwhelm will not exist if you are in action, if you are actually doing something. Because what happens is, overwhelm is this collection of thoughts that makes your brain just light up. It's like confusion and everything in there, you know, everything's hitting at one time and you don't know which place to go. If you have already decided, this is what I'm going to do the next time I'm overwhelmed, and you take that step, you remind yourself, when I'm overwhelmed, when I hit anxious, this is what I'm going to do, then it will help you move out of that, okay? And it will help you stay away from the binging, because you're binging because you don't know what else to do, because you're looking for relief from the overwhelm. And what I'm telling you is, relief from the overwhelm will come with that next step. So when you feel anxious and overwhelmed, think about where you are, what's going on. Is it at work? Is it at home? And then plan that very next step for yourself. Okay? Hope that makes sense. Hope that helps you. If I filled out my weekly plan on Sunday and have leftovers from dinner one night and not going to make a new meet on Thursday night, can I change that on my daily plan without having to do TA? Yes, absolutely. If you, I often do that actually. I have a couple of little tweaks that I give to my plan periodically. I always prep my breakfast and lunch. Okay. So I always know what those are going to be. Dinner time, I plan what I'm going to have Sunday, plan what I'm going to have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But sometimes I'll get to Monday and I'll think, I think I'm going to fix Thursday night's dinner instead. And I'm okay with that because I already have all the groceries for both. And I know if I don't eat it Monday, I'm going to eat it Thursday. And that's okay. If I have leftovers, watch how I tie this in, okay? If I have, like you, if I made something on Monday that I have leftovers, I want to eat it later in the week instead of cooking, boom, self-care. Right? Not only have I eaten something that's in the refrigerator, I haven't had to prepare it. And I've already had it, so I know I like it. So that's, to me, that's self-care. Eating leftovers, that's good stuff. That's one less task I have to do at night in cooking. Stacy says, I have a lot of data. I have been trying to figure out my plus two. I have been doing more discovery worksheets. Good. I'm just not losing weight. I've been in the tribe for over a year, and I see I'm only following my plan 60 to 70% of the time, but I feel like I'm failing at this. I know this must require more than just a Q&A, but can you give me suggestions on how to manage my thoughts around doing more and more things, but still not seeing the changes on the scale? So two things are going to keep you in maintenance, not following plan, and eating past your two. So I would focus on one of those two things and nail it. Okay. So pick one, either pick the plus two to really focus in on, or pick the following of the plan. If it's the following of the plan and if you're not following it 30 to 40% of the time, it's probably not realistic enough. Or you are coming across situations that you are solving with eating rather than solving with your mind. Okay. So that's what I would do. And yeah, you know, if you're coming across these situational things that are creating opportunities for you to eat off plan or eat past your plus two, and you want coaching on it, just hit us up in office hours. I know it's Thursday, but I'm actually going to do office hours next week, first week in February. So just come on back and we'll work through one of those situations. But for now, make your plans more realistic. Leave some food behind. If you're consistently eating past plus two, you're going to need to figure out why, and you're going to need to eat less in order to move the needle for your weight loss. Amber, I have a spiral of index cards with power thoughts. Reading them is self-care, as is getting coaching. Yes, 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 yes. I have a new power thought that I discovered, a couple weeks ago. And it is that my mistakes, you know, either previous yesterday's mistakes or my mistakes in my life do not limit me today. My mistakes don't limit me. And I just find that to be very powerful, especially for someone like me who had to do a lot of work around being able to make a mistake and see that as a growth opportunity. Y'all, I didn't like mistakes at all. Beat myself up like the best of them. But I see them now as, you know, when I make a mistake and I have to correct it, buddy, I remember what I did wrong, right? And I remember the correction because I don't want to make the same mistake again. But if I do, then I remember that I didn't learn enough and I need to, you know, just expand just a little bit more. Sorry, a little tangent. How do I fill out my 24-hour plan when I'm sick with a stomach virus? Honestly, I would be very lenient with myself when I had a stomach virus, and I would say, I'm not going to eat past my two at any time. So I would just say, you know, breakfast, whatever my body thinks it can handle, to plus two. Lunch, same thing, whatever my body thinks it can handle. If you can plan, if you, you know that's going to be chicken soup and saltine crackers or whatever, that's fine. But I find that, you know, when you have a stomach virus or the flu or you're super sick or something like that, it's always better just to listen to the wisdom of your body on that day than try and plan it. Now, if you catch yourself in the candy jar because you think that's the only thing that's going to feel, you know, feel good, you might want to question that, but I bet you don't. Can you help me get over my drama that I can only have one big goal at one time? I'm an entrepreneur growing my small business and have this thought that I have to constrain so I can't lose weight and grow my business. That's coachable. Boy, is that coachable, Amber. You've already recognized that it's a thought. You can absolutely do both things at one time. What does eating have to do with growing your business? Right? That I would look at that connection for sure. What does staying on plan have to do with growing your business? Nothing, right? Nothing. Even if you have a cupcake business, it doesn't have anything. They don't have anything to do with each other. So writing a plan and assessing and making sure you have food in the house, those are things that, you know, pretty much you have to do anyway, right? You have to make sure you have good food in the house. Writing a plan and assessing takes, 5 minutes a day. Growing, in fact, setting yourself up with food that feels good will actually benefit you growing your business. So just work your way around how you can put your brain to work on how you can blend the two together to create the result that you want with your weight personally and with your business. You know, think, put your brain to work on that. Think about how the two can go together and don't tell yourself you have to sacrifice one for the other because you absolutely don't. That's thought. I have a pattern of eating. When the kids get home for a while, I kept trying to change the action line, which didn't work. No, that's right. So yesterday I sat down and wrote down all the thoughts that habitually pop into my head and put them on paper. In an hour, I had a page of thoughts. What's my next step now? Answer the thoughts. Seriously. If you wrote down all the thoughts that you have when the kids get home that lead you to eating, I guess, when the kids get home, right? Then I would create an answering thought. Let's say the thought is the kids are wild today, or I don't want to help them with the homework. Okay. You might answer the kids are wild today with, but they're my kids. They're going to be this way. It doesn't mean I have to eat, right? I don't want to handle the homework tonight could be answered with, I can ask for help. Or I'm the mama, it's my job. Or if I want to make sure the homework gets done, I better help handle it. You know, whatever it is, I would find now that you have, I love this idea. Now that you have all of your thoughts, I would write down the answer thought on the page right next to them. Okay. So that you can open up the conversation in your head when you have the urge to eat, when your kids get home and you already have all your answers ready. How do you address your thought work around eating less food as you listen to your hunger? Sometimes I'm not hungry for dinner. I just drink tea with the family, but it's been challenging managing my mind around sometimes only eating one or two meals. I always tell myself that the best self-care I can have in this moment is listening to the wisdom of my body. I was talking about, while we're here at the 6 day, Betsy and MJ and I are also doing some one-on-one coaching sessions. And I was talking about this with one of the girls I was coaching this morning. And I said, your body is so smart, it will tell you when it needs to eat. It's also so smart that when you overfeed it, it will hold on to that extra weight in case you miss a meal. So if we're listening to the wisdom of our bodies and if we're not listening to the wisdom of our bodies and we're overfeeding them, then it's going to take care of us anyway. It's just going to put it on our hips and on our back and on our legs and all that kind of stuff, just in case we need it in the future, right? So if your body is telling you, you know what? I don't think I need anything tonight because I have a little bit of extra here that I want to tune into, then you should absolutely let it. That's the ultimate form of self-care, is listening to what your body needs or paying attention when it tells you it doesn't need anything in the moment. So that's what I would do. I would just say, part of this work I am doing with loving myself and learning more about myself is with listening to my body and feeding it only when it needs to eat. I hope that makes sense. That's what you would do. You know, that's what you would do with your pets and with your kids. You feed them when they need to eat, right? Well, do that with yourself too. Can you talk a little bit about accountability partners and groups? I'm hesitant because I'm afraid I'll need to be responsible for someone else's weight loss. It feels like too much commitment. Oh, you are not responsible for anyone but yourself. Okay. Accountability partners and groups. I can tell you how I use mine. Mine's Betsy and Mary Jo as my accountability group, right? I show up for them by seeing that they've created a plan. That's it. You know, it's somewhere to put my plan. I'm telling you, if I post my plan one day, one of them is tagging me going, hey, did you post your plan today? Or did you create a plan today? And I'll be like, oh yeah, I forgot. Here it is. Thanks for the nudge. Right? That's it. All it is a little nudge and a place for you to land your stuff so that you know someone is looking out for you. You are not responsible for anybody's weight loss. If they go off plan, it's not your fault. If they overeat, if they binge, you know, maybe they just need someone to say, you can put your discovery worksheet here, or you can just tell us that you've done one. That's all it is. It's just having like a partner or a group to check in with. And then if you have questions like, hey, I got some steaks. How do y'all fix them? Or, you know, some kind of, you know, what'd y'all food prep this week? I need some ideas. So just great to have a little, small little community of folks to lean on if you need them. Every now and then I'll post in our little accountability group, or I'll Marco Polo them and I'll say, I'm having a hard time today and I really want to have some potato chips, or really, you know, I want a beer tonight, something fierce. And they'll come back in and they won't coach me. They'll just say, so what's up? You know, have you done your journaling? Have you figured it out? You know, what can we do for you? You know, we love you. Boom, done. And, you know, so sometimes it's just a shoulder. Sometimes it's just a place to land your stuff. Marco Polo is an app on your phone that is video text messaging. I mean, basically that's all it is. It's a free app. You record a video on your phone, you open up your group, you record a video on your phone, you hit stop, and a message goes out to the people in your group that says, Kathy just recorded a video. They can listen to the video and they can reply. Message goes back out to the group. They've replied. Super easy. Video text messaging is the best way to describe it. All right. That one, Raquel says, thanks. Vicky, learning the unintentional, intentional thoughts. Last night I had the strongest craving. So strong, I purposefully went to the store for my craving. The intentional thoughts couldn't shut out the want for the particular food. Yeah, your intentional thoughts may have been too big a reach for you. So without knowing exactly what your unintentional thought was, I can assume that when you recalled the intentional one, it just didn't seem believable enough for you to not go to the store and buy something to eat. So what I would do is I would create a thought that's a little bit closer to your unintentional thought. So let me give just a really basic example. I hate my body. I love my body. If you're standing in front of the mirror and you're going, I hate my body. I want to eat something fierce. Saying, oh, I love my body is not going to fix that. You're still going to want to eat because I love my body in that moment does not feel like something you can believe. But instead, if you were to say, when you're standing in front of the mirror saying, I hate my body, if you were to say, let me just take a minute. I see that I'm hating my body, but I'm learning to not hate my body anymore. It kind of takes the power out of the thought. It's a less intense way of looking at it. I'm trying to learn to think about it differently. Sounds a little bit more compassionate. And it also sounds, to me, more reachable than I love my body. So we call that a thought ladder or a middle model. And there is a place in the NoBS in phase two that talks about how to do that. Okay. So I hope that helps, Vicki. I would just create a thought that's a little bit better than the unintentional thought, rather than going all pie in the sky on yourself, and see if that doesn't help a little bit, or give you a pause anyway, give you something new to think about. Emily, if I don't hit my monthly goal, lose 7 pounds instead of 10, what should I plan for next month? Another 7 or 10? I'd plan whatever I want my goal to be. Here's the thing. If you don't hit your goal, you still have lost 7 pounds, right? And think about the growth you've had trying to lose 10. I asked somebody one time, she said, I didn't make my goal, I failed. I was like, okay. What do I tell the girl that, you know, had a goal to lose 100 pounds and lost 95? Did she fail? And she's like, well, no. I said, right? She lost 95 pounds. In your case, you lost 7. So what did you learn through the month? You know, what did you learn about yourself? You know, what was the journey like through those 7 pounds? So what can you apply to next month? You create whatever goal you want. I don't care if it says 25 pounds. You know, make it as reachable or as impossible as you want it to be, and just push yourself just as hard as you can to get it, and enjoy every little success you find along the way. Okay? Can you explain 2 plus 2? I'm assuming, Deb, that you mean the hunger scale. So on, if you think about a spectrum, a line that has minus 10 on one end and plus 10 on the other end, this is our reference point for the hunger scale. Minus 10 is Survivor Island, 30 days, you've had a grain or two of rice a few days ago, you are starving. Plus 10 is, what's that guy's name? Joey Chitwood, something like that, at the Nathan's hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July after he's eaten 65 hot dogs. Okay? What we want you to do is eat between the twos. All right? So if 0 is perfectly neutral, not hungry, not full, not even satisfied, I mean, like absence of hunger, nothing, then minus 2 is the beginnings of hunger. It's a little bit of hunger. I am at minus 2 right now. I can feel myself getting, you know, it's going to be dinner time. It's, you know, it's 5:30. You wait much longer, you're going to be a little bit hungrier. You know, I have hunger right now. I feel it in my throat. I feel it in my stomach. Minus 2 is not super duper hunger. It's I'm starting to feel hungry. Plus 2 is satisfied. It's not full. It's not feeling like you got to unbutton your pants. It's not even a little heavy in your belly. It's past not hungry anymore. Okay? So it's between I'm not hungry anymore and full. You have to play with it to find it. For me, I find it when my eating slows down, when I start to get distracted, when I sit back from the table a little bit. If you all ever caught yourself doing that, you're eating, talking, you put your fork down, you sit back a little bit. That's my body telling me it doesn't need any more food. The wisdom of my body telling me it doesn't need any more food. So I hope, Deb, you have to let me know. Does that help you? Does that answer your question about 2 plus 2? Phase 1 of the NoBS has the hunger scale lesson in it. Corinne goes into a lot of detail. There's also a worksheet in the hunger scale lesson in phase 2 that has all kinds of little signals and thoughts and all the things at various places on the scale from the minus 10 to the plus 10. As someone who is working on not being a perfectionist, what do you think of not doing the habit tracker? I'm trying not to be all or nothing. Oh, Heather, this is such a great question. I'm almost embarrassed to say this. This is the first month I have done the habit tracker all the way through. And my mind is blowing on it because I find myself as someone who likes to do things, I don't want to say perfectly, but really well. I want to check all those boxes. I think to myself when I'm sitting at dinner and I want more and I know I'm at my plus two, I think I'm not going to get to check that box tonight if I don't hit that, you know, if I eat any more. I'm going to be past plus two if I eat any more and I'm not going to check that box tonight. So that habit tracker has been motivating for me because I went through the first part of the month and I had several times when I was not hitting, when I was, you know, eating past plus two, and I got to thinking, this percentage is going to stink if I don't really tune this in, if I don't figure this out and cut out this BS eating after plus two. So to me, it became almost like a competition with myself. I need to clean this up so that my percentages look good on that habit tracker. And it's really kept me accountable to myself, knowing that I have to go into that habit tracker each night and check those boxes. So for you, that's a thought that I would offer you. I wouldn't not do it. I would 100% do it and watch my brain challenge itself to make sure I could check the boxes. I am a January baby, and I'm struggling with knowing if I'm a minus two. I have the handout, and I feel like it's still a challenge. Can you please provide some guidance on this? Thanks so much. Here's what I do. Seriously. Heather says, thank you. Challenge accepted. Woohoo. Here's what I do, Azizi. I would, every time you're getting ready to eat, I would write down exactly how your body feels. Everything from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. I'd look at your mouth, your throat, your thoracic region here, your shoulders, your stomach. I'd listen to my, you know, the gurglings in my stomach and in my, you know, intestines. I would record everything my body feels. What feels empty? What feels constricted? What feels open? What feels light? I'd write all that down. And after you do that for, I don't know, 8 or 10 meals, you're going to start to see trends. Okay. You take that information, compare it back to the worksheet, and then start filling in where you think you are on that worksheet. Now, that worksheet is like, you know, and what somebody did on one day, your signals may not be exactly like what's on that worksheet. It's a guide. Okay. I can tell you somewhere on that worksheet, it says a growl. My stomach rarely growls. I'm at, you know, like I said, minus two now. I'm headed toward minus 2.5 probably. And my stomach hasn't growled yet. It probably wouldn't growl until, I don't know, minus 5 or 6 or 7, if it growled at all. Okay. So you write down your signals and then you decide where you are on the scale. Does that make sense? That's what I would do. Everybody, that's what makes this P&P so unique, is that everybody is individual and it recognizes that. So that's really how I'd handle it. Do a lot of journaling around how you feel when you're hungry. I bet you even catch some emotional hunger in there too, which means, you know, cravings or urges to eat when you're not physically hungry. I am not coaching tonight. I am answering all the questions. Okay. I follow my plan every day, except when my toddler doesn't finish his food, I end up eating it because I don't want to waste it. For example, he opens up a Pop-Tart and starts throwing it, so I take it from him. I sit and eat it. What do I do to control this action? You'd be okay with wasting food. Here's the options for the Pop-Tart. It either goes in your toddler's mouth or it goes in the trash. Or there's a third option. You can give the toddler half the Pop-Tart, wrap the rest of it up, and put it in the pantry. But it does not have to, you do not have to eat it. You know, think about it in these terms. You're wasting it by putting it on your body when your body doesn't need it. Right? So when I realized that, as I was losing weight, that my body, if my body didn't need it, it was actually wasting it. I was pretty compelled to stop that. I thought throwing it away is better than throwing it down this throat. because my body doesn't need it. And I really want to lose the weight. I don't want to be the place the Pop-Tart lands when my kid decides doesn't want anymore. So that's what I'd do. Feed your toddler a little bit less. See if they finish it, wrap it up, put it in the pantry, and throw away what they don't eat. Tell yourself, I am not the Pop-Tart repository, right? Now, you can plan some Pop-Tarts for your breakfast if you want, but, you know, eat them on plan. My self-care is taking 1 hour per week for what I call my golden hour for planning and reflection. I love that. Every quarter, I hold a quarterly personal retreat. It is a day full of goal setting, setting my intentions for the next quarter, looking at my successes and opportunities from the previous quarter. Holy cow, Kim, I love that. I love that. That's amazing. I should do that. I do all of the weekly stuff and I do all the monthly stuff, but I have never thought of having a personal quarterly retreat to reflect on what I've done and setting my intentions for the next quarter. That's very cool. Gold star. Very, very cool. Newbie here, just finishing my first week writing a daily plan. I've weighed myself daily forever. What I find is if I lose a little, when I weigh myself in the next morning, I seem to eat a bit more that day, thinking maybe I can eat a little bit more and still lose weight. And inevitably, the next day, it goes back up again. What do you recommend for a weighing schedule once a week? I weigh once a week. I celebrate the loss, but not with food. I acknowledge the gain, but not with food. You know, just because you lost a little bit of weight, that doesn't, you know, your brain has decided that you get to reward yourself with food. That's not true, right? Food's not a reward. Food, you know, we don't celebrate with the food. We just say, oh, look, I did a good job this week. I want to keep going. I want to keep repeating what I did. Okay, so you're gonna have a thought that comes in that says, hey, you know, you had a loss this week, you can have a little bit more. Just tell yourself, no, that's not how I lose this week. Okay? Just have that conversation with yourself. All right, Deb, you said you have trouble with what plus two really means. I'm confused. I think I explained that. So let me know if I didn't. I'm going to leave your question up here. But if you got it when I went through it the first time, just let me know one way or the other. Jill, since February starts on Saturday, do you start your new month on that day or do you wait until Monday? I will wait. My week, everybody's different, Jill. Let me just say that, okay? There's no wrong answer. If you want to start your new month on the first, I would go for it. Mine will start my week. The way I plan is Sunday to Saturday. And I always do my assessments, my weekly planning and my weekly assessment on the weekend. So that's when I will also do my monthly assessment. It's going to be the weekend anyway. That just works for me. That's when Ken and I plan our days, you know, our meals for the next week. So that's just when I do my assessments. As analytical and as much structure as I love, I am okay with going a little bit rogue and saying that, you know, I'm just going to use the weekends for my weekly planning and my monthly planning. So I don't even pay attention on the 60-day planner. It doesn't have to start on the first day of the month. When I get it and I get to rolling on it, I just keep going. I just keep going with whatever's going on in my planner. You know, just take the next page in order. So I hope that makes sense. Can you help me with pre-hunger? I'm finding that I'm slightly hungry after school and before practice. If I don't eat something before practice, I make poor off-plan choices, or I'm starving, go face down after practice, and eat way past my plus two. So I put an apple and a cheese stick on the plan before practice. Am I doing this right? Sure. So when you have a snack, you do not have to wait and eat. Well, you should wait to minus two, but you don't have to eat to plus two. a lot of times if I find that I need a snack, like I have a late call, office hours goes until 7 and I can't even start fixing dinner until 7 o'clock or after, depending on how long the call goes. So a lot of times if I find myself getting hungry before office hours, I will have a snack that takes me to about a 0. Okay. Not to satisfied, just to take the edge off my hunger so that I am hungry again come dinner time. So that's what I would do. I would just play. Oh, the other thing I do is I don't eat nuts for my snack. And here's why. Nuts for my body keep me satisfied for a long time. They must be harder to digest or harder for me to digest. So if I know I need a snack, I want a snack, or I'm hungry for a snack, and I've got 4 or 5 hours till dinner, then I might have some nuts. But if it's only a couple hours till dinner, I would probably have that apple, because an apple won't keep me satisfied for very long. Does that make sense? So I think, yes, that you're doing that right, that you just have a small snack and then just wait until -2 again to eat again. And Lee says, thank you. I'm hoping Deb got her answer. Haven't heard back. Kathy, I'm a newbie, and this past month has taught me that I have patterns of daily binging at night. Today it was cookies in the freezer. Do you ever recommend getting rid of them? I feel like a drug addict for sugar, and part of me says to remove it all from my house. No, don't remove. I mean, you can remove it from your house, but what's that gonna solve? Right? I'd put it on the plan. I would put whatever you're binging on your plan. And then when it comes time to eat, you can decide whether or not you want to eat that stuff, but you only eat what you planned. And if it's cookies in the freezer, that's what I put on the plan. Seriously. Phase 3 of the No BS talks about planned binges. Phase 1 of the No BS talks about realistic planning. That's what you need to do, Kathy. You need to make your plans very realistic so that you can make sure that you are committing to yourself and to your plan. Okay? I had a goal of 4 pounds for January. I gained 1. How can I move on? I feel let down. Feeling let down comes from a thought, probably that you failed and you didn't make goal. I've data from my habit tracker. It's giving me evidence I can't do this. No, your data is not telling you you can't do this. You are telling yourself you can't do this. What your data is saying is, this is what I did. It's not saying, look, you can't do this. It's just taking a picture of what happened. Okay. So what I would do is I would pick the habit that had the lowest percentage complete, and I'd work on that one habit for next month. That's it. If it's you didn't get your 7 hours of sleep any at all, that's the habit I'd work on. I'm serious. You don't have to get all, how many habits are in that habit tracker? 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, something like that. You don't have to do all perfectly. It's your first month, right? How about nailing one habit, focusing of February on one habit so that you can feel like you've got some progress going? That's what I want you to do. But I'm a perfectionist. No. Can't use that excuse. Sorry. Nope, not allowed. All right, I'm a newbie. One of my accountability partners is with you, okay, at the 6-day now. She has been wonderful for me. Please tell her I said hi. Okay, Hopi 60, I will do that. So I have set a goal of losing 100 more pounds by October 10th when my daughter gets married. I've also been reading John Acuff's book, Finish. I love that book. Might be one of my favorites. I've lost 20 pounds since October 26th, and I'm thinking I might need to cut my goal in half so that I succeed losing 30 more to make that my goal. Should I change my goal or leave it for now? I don't think it matters. I think you do whatever feels good to you. If you want to keep your 100-pound goal, keep it. If you want to cut it in half, cut it in half. You know, the whole point of him saying that in Finish is so that you feel compelled to work towards your goal. Okay? You could also say, I want to lose 100 pounds in, you know, by this time next year. You could also increase the time frame that you give yourself. But if you have October 10th in mind, because that's your daughter's wedding, then cut it in half if you want, or keep it the same. It doesn't matter as long as you feel good about the goal and as long as you continue to make progress. Okay? Deb says, yes, good. So she's got the plus two, and she's got a resource. Don't forget, no BS, great resource. Of course, Corinne did it, so it has to be great, right? Hi there, January newbie. I'm having a hard time filling out the journal. I feel like I want to see others. Is there anywhere we can go to view examples of the weekly, monthly, daily, and the journaling? I'm a bit of a perfectionist and won't do it until I know if I'm doing it right. Ha ha. Just listening to your conversation about perfectionism. Yeah, perfectionism, y'all, it's an excuse, right? What Corinne said something today, a perfectionist's biggest fear is being wrong. We call ourselves perfectionists because we don't want to be wrong. So if you look at what's wrong with being wrong, not a lot, right? There's not a lot wrong with being wrong. So for you, Janine, where are there, you know what? Why don't you just post in the Facebook group? Ask some people, you know, can I see, post a copy of your journal page. Let me see with how you fill it out. But I will tell you this, the journal page in the PMP planner closely follows the phase two of the NOBS. Okay, all that stuff at the bottom with the model, with the circumstance, thought, fact, action, thought, feeling, action, and result. It's all in phase two of the NOBS. So if you have not gotten to phase two yet, just leave that part off. It's okay. And then for the monthly and weekly assessments, if you have the full-size planner, in the beginning of the planner, there are instruction pages on how to fill those out and what they mean and what to do. If you have the purse size planner, you can find the instruction pages on the website under, I believe it's under the worksheets and resources tab. I've been learning how to feel my plus two, and sometimes I miss it, and I get the effects of low blood sugar at night. How, let's see, Jana, I'm sorry, I'm confused. I've been learning how to feel my plus two, and sometimes I miss it and get the effects of low blood sugar at night. Do you mean your minus two? Because minus two is the hunger part of the worksheet, of the hunger scale. Not the plus two is the satisfied part. So I'm guessing, oh, this is really interesting. The low blood sugar at night, angry with my kids, can't fall asleep. What does that have to do with blood sugar? I'm just totally confused about your question. I either need you to give me some more information or post and ask coaches or something, because I don't understand how plus two, low blood sugar, and being angry with the kids all relate. Newbie here, just finishing my first week writing a daily plan. I've weighed myself daily forever. Okay. If I lose a little when I weigh myself in the morning, I seem to eat a bit more that day. Interesting. Thinking maybe I can eat a little bit more and still lose weight. And inevitably, the next day it goes back up. Why do you keep repeating that thought? You've obviously proved, just like the person earlier, that just because you lose a little weight, if you eat a little bit more the next day, it comes back on, right? What do I recommend for a daily weighing schedule? I weigh once a week, but you got to get around this thought that I lost a little bit today so I can eat a little bit more. That's the error, not how often you're weighing. It's the thought, because it's going to happen if you, let's say you weigh once a week and on Friday you're down 2 pounds. If you have this practice thought that it's okay to eat a little bit more, you're just going to put that 2 pounds back on. So it doesn't really matter how often you weigh. What matters is pulling the BS light on the thought, oh, I can eat a little bit more because I lost a little bit this week, right? That's the problem. It's the thought. Can you talk about passive versus massive action? Yes, I can. I'm doing well listening to no BS, TDLs, 24-hour assessments, working on models and all the things, but I'm not sticking to my realistic plan or honoring my plus two. Is that passive action? Passive action is listening to no BS, listening to all the calls, doing some reading, thinking about what you're going to do, making a plan. You know, it's all that prep work, all that action that you do that's not really doing the things. Massive action is doing the things. It's stopping eating when you hit plus two. It's doing the assessment. It's following the plan. You know, it's that very active part of action. Okay, if you're just learning and listening and doing a little planning and that kind of thing, that's passive action. It's actually putting all the basics into action and doing them and holding yourself accountable. That is massive action. I'm struggling with the fact that my body does not need as much food now. Yes, we all go through that. It's like I had somebody tell me one time on a coaching call, I'm in mourning because I can't eat as much anymore. Right? So it is eye-opening. When you realize where your plus two is and how much food your body actually needs, not only is it eye-opening because you want to eat more, it's eye-opening because you realize how much you've been overeating. We all have gone through that. You just have to remind yourself that what you want in the moment is to finish your plate. What you want in the big scheme of things is to lose your weight. And you have to marry the two, right? So you have to say, I want my weight loss more than I want what's left here. I want to take care of my joints and my liver and my internal organs more than I want the rest of this food. I want to loosen the stress on my body more than I want the rest of this food. Let's see. When I make my 24-hour plan for my weekly plan and change it, is that considered eating off plan? No, I don't. I mean, if you're changing it in the moment because you don't feel like eating what you planned, yes, I'd consider that eating off plan. But like I said earlier in the call, if you're making a change, you know, let's say you swapped out Monday's dinner for Thursday's dinner, no, I wouldn't call that eating off plan at all. If you plan salads all week and the lettuce went bad, you had to plan something else. I wouldn't call that off plan either. Just like your reasons. Just make sure they're good reasons. Ones that, you know, you stand behind, not just being fickle and not feeling like one thing over another. Deb's good with the hunger scale. Awesome. I've been working on my minus two. I feel ready to start becoming aware of my plus two. Good. I've started just counting to 30 midway through the meal. Do you have a couple of other ideas to just become more aware of how my body feels when I'm eating? Yeah. Take a piece of paper with you to the table. Seriously. When you're counting through 30, do that body scan assessment I was talking about. Think about how your mouth feels, how your throat feels, how your stomach feels. You know, start cataloging how you feel halfway through your meal. Count to 30. I tell people sometimes wait 10 minutes. Then eat half again as much if you've decided you're not yet at your plus two. Okay. The beautiful thing about doing this is that if you wait, even if you wait 10 minutes, if you think about it, when you swallow, it takes some time for your esophagus to work the food all the way down into your stomach and for your stomach to send a signal up to your brain that you've had enough. So doing that pause really is important if you think you're getting close to plus two. So that's what I would do. I would do exactly what you're doing, but I'd take a piece of paper to the table and I'd talk about, just like I was talking about earlier, I'd go ahead and write down my little body scan. I'd compare it back to that hunger scale worksheet. I'd look for trends. I'd do that for several days and see what you can discover about yourself. How do you know to stop 1% improvements and just hold steady instead of pushing too hard and stopping? I would do the 1% improvement. And then when I nailed that, I would do another 1% improvement. Okay. So if you're, and make sure it's 1%. I'm not talking about, I'm going to eat, you know, half my meal for the rest of the week. No, that's not a 1% improvement. Okay. 1% improvement might be a few fewer potato chips and a little bit more salad, or I'm going to have 8 ounces more of water or something like that. We're talking baby steps. Okay. We're not talking life changes with the 1% improvement. So if you're good, if you decide your 1% is another glass of water every day, and you've successfully done that for 3 or 4 days, then add another one, find another one, but a small step, not a life change, big honking thing that you'll never sustain. Can you talk about dreading your weigh-in? I always fear no loss and need to work on scale drama. Why do you feel no fear, no loss? That's what I want to know. What's wrong with a maintain or a gain? I'm going to bet the reason you have scale drama is because you know you haven't been following your plan, or because you know you've been overeating. You know, you clean that part up, you get on the scale with anticipation, or you just get on the scale looking for some kind of, you know, feedback for how your week went. Right? The scale, all the scale is not drama. The scale is a number. The scale measures your gravitational pull on the earth today. That's all it does. You stand on it, pops back a number. You're the one with the drama. So if you take the drama out and you look at it as another piece of data that goes in your planner that helps you assess your week so that you can find how to improve your next week just a little bit, then you can take the drama out and you can look forward to the feedback. You give yourself feedback every single day when you do your assessment. This is just another form of feedback. If I'm going to start small to help conquer my fear of doing it wrong, what 2 to 4 parts on the daily plan should I start with rather than starting with at 2 pages and feeling overwhelmed? Listened to Corinne's talk about what overwhelm really is. And for me, it's fear. Thanks. I would do the 2 parts on the daily plan. I would do the meal part for sure. I'd pick two or three or four of the questions at the bottom. How about that? Wish I had my planner right here. It's way over there next to the bed. But I would definitely plan the meals. And I would, let's see, what are the questions at the bottom? No, the questions at the bottom are assessment questions. I think that's what I do. Let's just start with the meals, okay? And then when you come in at the end of the day, write down what you actually ate, or just put a check mark in the assessment box if you ate what you planned. And write down one part of the hunger scale, either the hungry part or the satisfied part, and fill out a couple of questions at the bottom. That's what I'd do, Coach Casey. I am visiting my son and his family. Let's see. I flew with my sons and mother-in-law. Son's mother-in-law. I flew with my son's mother-in-law. Usually we get along well. When it comes to our granddaughter, it all changes. I'm trying to enjoy the little time I get to spend with her. However, I find myself eating my feelings on top of eating out almost all the time. I've had a few days of not eating my feelings. Then I have times I have chosen to eat. How do I get back on track? I'm trying to make the choice to just enjoy watching my granddaughter play and not be hurt so I don't eat. Okay, so there's something about being there that is creating hurt. Of course, it's a thought, right? You have a thought that's creating hurt. Your action is overeating. And your result here, when you're eating, you're not engaged with your granddaughter, right? So maybe your new thought needs to be, I want to engage with my granddaughter more than I want to worry about what other people are thinking or saying. I mean, seriously, that's probably what it boils down to. Somebody has said something or thought something, or you've given them some thoughts or something that has created some hurt for you. ask yourself, do you really want to feel hurt when you're spending time with your granddaughter, or do you want to feel engaged? And if you're off eating somewhere, you're not engaged. So you decide how you're going to spend your time with her. It's either going to be putting up with whoever, you know, you think isn't acting right and spending time with your granddaughter, or it's going to be disengaging and eating. That's what I'd tell myself. I just draw a hard line in the sand. I don't get enough time with her to be eating over somebody else who I think has hurt my feelings, when it's actually your own thought about what they've said or done that's hurt your feelings. I hope that makes sense, Yvonne. If you need help with that, you need to get on a coaching call. Oh, you said thank you. Good. Awesome. Jana, I did not hear from you again, and I still don't understand your question. So if you are still here, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit more information and throw it over there and ask coaches, and Betsy or MJ or I will get to it sometime in the next day or so. Y'all, that's it. Oh, one more question. Laura Gary, hi. Can you talk more about being happy with small steps of progress when I'm not at the goal end point I want to be at? I travel with work and have weekends home. I've coached often on being sad when my visits home end, and I'm working on thoughts around it for a different feeling action result. I'm proud to be this aware on the front end, but I still feel like it will end with sadness and overeating. That's because you're predicting a future, Laura. You have to set your intention for your trip. You know, so let me give you an example. I don't like being away from home. I don't like being away from my husband. He doesn't like me being away from him, but I'm here for 6 days, right? So I set my intention to connect with him as often as I could. So what I do is I Marco Polo him. And here's why. Because to me, it's easier to connect when I'm talking to him and looking at him. So I leave him a little video message. He gets to listen to it as many times as he wants to. And then he responds back to me with a video message. And I get to see him. I get to see him smile. He gets to see me smile. And then at night, when we do talk, we FaceTime. So I have created an intention to stay connected to my husband through these amazing video apps that we have on our phones now. For you, that's what I would do. I would decide ahead of time how I wanted my week to go. I'd create an intention for the week. How am I going to connect with myself? And how am I going to connect with the people back home? And then you just execute that plan. Okay? And you decide, connecting with myself does not mean being sad, and it does not mean overeating. It means taking care of myself. It means invoking some self-care, and it means talking to my people in a way that I can create connection with them and with myself. So I do, Laura. I hope that helps. All right, you guys, that is all the questions. I am going to call it and tell you all to have a wonderful night. Laura says, I'll be raising my hand in office hours next week. Do it, girl. I'll be there Wednesday night. You guys have a great rest of your week. This is January 30th. Don't forget to do your monthly assessments. Okay? All of you newbies who started with us in January, great time to assess and a great time to start that February habit tracker. I'm telling y'all. I just can't believe how I've shown up for myself this month because I did the habit tracker, because I want to check that box. And I know, I know what power there is there. So do your work and let us know and ask coaches and Facebook group how we can help you. Okay. You guys have a good night. See ya. Bye.